was some, the superintendent at that time was Garcia Times. He can't sue me because he did. They had some people to come in to kind of do an orientation initially when integration occurred. And he reportedly made the statement, with this training that we're providing, then our black teachers will somewhat be able to teach in the public schools. And of course, this came from the concept of black folk being inferior. And of course, when Bob Eller became superintendent, there was some school that was designated really unofficially white schools and black schools. The white schools being, of course, Oakhurst, Heidelberg, and Kirkpatrick. And you made sure, and that's true even today, that most of the teachers at those two schools are white. And of course, it came from years ago, they're still there. And of course, the black population has increased tremendously, therefore, all of our schools are predominantly black, because blacks live all over the neighborhood now. Oakhurst, which was predominantly white, but now blacks live there. So what has happened now, you have a white flight to the suburbs, more so now than any other time. You see for sale signs all over Oakhurst. People are moving out as often as they can. Now, when I was assistant superintendent, when we would go to board meeting, the superintendent would always ask me how the buses running, are the buses running? That's unofficially, that's what he wanted me to do, to take care of the buses in the school system. And of course, that didn't require any sense. The position was designated, the black community insisted that a black be in that position. Of course, when J.W. Stanford died in 72 or 74, it was 2 years before that position filled, but the black community insisted on having someone in that position. So Jesse Bowie came and served 5 years to get his salary up. In Mississippi, your retirement is based on your highest 4 years, and usually the last four, but he worked 5 years here. Then there's a void in that position. And finally, Bob Eller made a choice and appointed me superintendent, assistant superintendent, with only really to satisfy the black community. And of course, people knew what, in fact, the person did in that position. It was literally nothing. The dirty work that the superintendent wanted me to take care of. I remember that the push to remove asbestos from schools because of cancer causing. And of course, I had gone to Jackson for a staff development conference. And when I came back, he had a long letter on my desk saying, go to Mississippi State and get the training for asbestos removal. I said, man, I don't know anything about asbestos. Well, you go learn. I said, Bernie Winkler, who's at the VOTE, who's in technical education, would be the appropriate person to go. But this is something that he wanted me to do because it was required and didn't mean anything. Another incident was when provided funds for drug education. He asked me to write a grant for drug education. The grant was written, sent to Jackson, approved, sent back. He sent the money back. Another occasion when we were required to write a 5-year plan. He pulled together the principals and gave each one an assignment. I said to myself, they're not going to do that because he doesn't know how to do it. He's going to give it to me. So what I did. I called my friends around the state and got some plans that already existed and took what we wanted to do and included what they had in that plan. And I had a young lady who just called me who works at Central Office in Heidelberg, McCaskey, to type it up. I said, now he thinks he's asleep. He's going to wait till the last minute. The plan had to be in January. I said, he's going to ask me to do it. So he came in my office the day before we got out for the Christmas holidays. He said, oh, look, he gave me the information he had gotten from the principal. Look, you don't have anything to do over the holiday. Do this plan. I had that my guess already. So it was that kind of thing that existed. We don't have as much yet in terms of administratively now, because the number of blacks were in key positions to make a difference. But I just wanted to point out how difficult it was being assistant superintendent, and I could have become bitter. But I use that, there's some things I learned from him, but I use that as a way to move to the next level. Let me back up and talk about the school board and what, at one time, there weren't any blacks on the school board. Henry Espy, who is the mayor that I talked with earlier, came here from Yazoo City, and he became a commissioner, first black commissioner. So this new superintendent, Bob Vella, wanted to reorganize the schools. And of course, Henry served on the school board. And he felt that in order to, he wanted to build a new high school. He felt that in order to do that, you probably need to have two blacks on the board. So he called me, Henry called me, I said, look, let's get Tom Shaw. That was the person he called me about now, who's still president. Now, Tom Shaw, I shouldn't even say that. Tom Shaw's fraternity brother of mine. See, I'm stacking the deck for me now. Tom Shaw was there for me. And we had made him several years before. Then Henry got off and got Mayo Wilson. I think I got Mayo Fraggett, Mayo first. Mayo Wilson was there for me. Too. I learned from Bob in terms of the politics of things, not, but for a different purpose, to improve the quality of education. My purpose was to improve the quality of education for all the kids. But I watched how the system worked. So he wanted to get rid of the board attorney, who was an expert in keeping schools segregated. So he got rid of the board attorney and got the man we got now. He's been there for 20 plus years. So now all I need is one more. One more vote. Now, Henry Espy is mayor. He's been mayor four terms. And, of course, the person he appointed is up. And I had a meeting at my house. I didn't live here then. I live in the house I still own at 920-42. I had a meeting in my house with the two board members, B.F. McLaughlin, who was president of Cahoma Community College, Charles Reed, who served on the board, frat brother. And my wife cooked spaghetti, and we had chitlins. You ever heard of chitlins? Mm-hmm. I know you don't eat them, of course. So we ate good. So after we finished eating, I said, Henry, let me just tell you why we had this meeting. We got two blacks on the board. I'm assistant superintendent now. I'm playing the game they play. I said, we got two blacks on the board. I said, now, you, it's your appointment to reappoint Jeannie Bird, I believe it was Jeannie Bird. I said, you need to appoint a black. Oh, y'all go tell Dr. Ellen. Ellen's superintendent. I said, Ellen got nothing to do with this. That's your appointment. But anyway, he reappointed Jeannie Bird. Her husband worked for Valley Gas, a little short fellow. Year or two after he reappointed, I said, boy, we're still friends. See, we don't necessarily agree on a lot of things. He reappointed anyway. Year or two into that appointment, 5 years, the husband was reassigned to Columbus, Tupelo, somewhere. So she had to resign. So Henry, my dear friend, appointed a black. I said, oh, yeah, here we go. So I was... When Ellett retired in 92, he had retired in 92. This is when this happened after he retired. The board was still white, 3-2. They got Dr. Wiener. Then it changed to the 3-2. Here we go. So when Wiener left after 2 years, In 95, he left in the middle of the term. He left in March, February or March, and I got the job. And the only reason I got the job was because you had three blacks on the board. You're going to find that in many Delta towns, for good or bad, whatever that means, blacks control the politics. If you go to Tulipa, now in Batesville it's not the case, but in most cases where you have black control, you have black superintendents. And most of the Delta schools have black superintendents, and some of the Hill schools. Largely because of things that happened in the 60s with the Voter Rights Act, elimination of the poll tax for voting. All that has come in my lifetime, separate this, separate that. But we have a way to go. And it has not always been easy, this black superintendents working with black boards. But as Clark said, we've had a excellent working relationship. Of course, the county had three or four blacks on the board, and black woman superintendent, they don't quite get together. Of course, a lot of times it depends on the skills of the superintendent dealing with the board. I always took the position that I already got with the board president, and we talked about the issues that need to come before the board meeting, and we didn't agree on what it should be, it didn't come up. Most times we were on the same page. Therefore, we will have a harmonious relationship. One other thing I'm going to tell you that I'm thinking about. There was a need to build a new high school. I wish you could have said, I should have pulled some of that stuff for you. I got it back there. I did some cleaning up the other day. There's a need for a new high school. Of course, I told you about the 6% rule. So in 88, I believe it was, don't quote me on this. We got 56% on the bond issue. Then Bob Ellis tried another year or two after that. We got 53. When I became superintendent, we passed the bond issue with 65% of the voters who voted on it. I don't know if you've seen the new high school. Have you been by the new high school?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
We drove by it, but it wasn't.
Yeah. So we built that new high school. I think the bond issue floated in 97. And new high school opened in 99. Maybe 2000 last year I served. So I just wanted to add that it's not always been, the climate has not always been big either. There's still some subtle things that go on. It's still black and white. Still black and white, not as profound, but the wealth is still controlled by the other folks, so to speak. Yeah, I think that's about all.
Okay.
When you leave, I think something else.
Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the Voting Rights Act, so can you tell us some stories that you heard or maybe you sort of observed yourself about the Civil Rights Act and sort of, you know, Freedom Summer and all that stuff.
Before or during or after, all of it.
All of it, if you have any stories.
When I came here in 64, you were required, black folks never been stupid, even during slavery, they had a way of survival, singing, if you look familiar with history. The principal passed out a form, the faculty meeting. And on this form, you had to list all the organizations that you belong to. Now, very few, if any, blacks, this happened my first year, put on there the NAACP. And of course, the reason being, they didn't want to jeopardize their job. Okay? If they belonged, they didn't put it on there. All right? Also, I think one year, they had to pay the poll tax 2 years, I'm not sure. I paid the poll tax when I first came. I kept it to show the students. I think I paid once or twice. Well, of course, you never eliminated with the law of 64 or 66, I forgot which. But I've heard that blacks were disfranchised because they couldn't answer the question. You had to interpret the Constitution to the satisfaction of the person administering the test. And sometimes that person had more education, I heard, than they asked you all kind of stupid questions. You may have interpreted it, but they didn't want you to vote. They say, well, you didn't interpret the Constitution. I didn't go through that because the law was passed right after I got here, and I could vote without all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, some blacks were leery about putting bumper stickers on their cars. And of course, that was the year Lyndon Johnson and Humphrey were elected over, I think, Barry Goldwater. But a large number of blacks began to vote. What white candidates would do, they don't do it anymore. On election time, they would go to black churches, and the pastor would allow them to say a word or two about their candidacy. You don't see that anymore, because in the main, some churches didn't allow it. In the Methodist Church, United Methodist Church, it's not appropriate to endorse any candidate. If you can come, of course. But they don't come anymore. They just come and enjoy the service. It's election time. You knew it was election time because that's what they did. But now you have so many blacks running and being elected. That's a thing of the past. I think last year, the year before, the NAACP had a forum where candidates were invited to share their views on different elections. But
take a second to switch. Sorry.
You know, one of the problems you still have when people have money, I always say to candidates and to other people, sometimes we lose, regardless of how we do it. When we elect the black, sometimes when they win, they do things to promote the white agenda. And sometimes when we win, they still get to promote the white agenda because of the funds that are available coming to those candidates. It's sad when you elect people and you still lose. You follow what I'm saying? Because they tend to take on the same agenda than the agenda that is more inclusive. Just like they're doing with Obama, the kind of thing that are coming up, you know. And too often, it's unfortunate if you a candidate that can draw white votes, have a tendency to be to have to carry their agenda. It's unfortunate, but that's just some of the local politics. Mm-hmm. And most times when blacks win, like Congressman Thompson, I think that district created for him, Secretary's district, well, a majority black. Mm-hmm. If you switch that around, Thompson wouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. The same was true with our supervisors. They get elected from a district that are predominantly black. Now, the mayor election thing will be next year. And Espy will probably be reelected. He has a tendency, he's a good politician. He has a tendency that he's my good friend. He has a tendency he has a charisma to pull things together and make it look good, but he tends to carry another agenda. A lot of instances. Of course, that's where the power is because that's what money is. And money has a tendency to corrupt. You don't have to take my word for it. Think about Stevens from Alaska and others. You know, and people know that. Put the money there. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate. But there are those who are thankful, like the Aaron Henrys that I knew, who got money from different sources, but he remember. He always had a saying, don't ever forget who you are, where you came from, and who sent you. That's important. And that's true. That's what I am. You know, and I just, So much has happened to black folks down through the years, and we have made progress because we stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us, and I know that. I have been where I've been because of other folks. And I think if more of us took that position, we'd make better progress. Okay. Rather than been deciding, well, what's in it for me? Well, if I play this role, I'm going to get some money, I'm going to get reelected. But what about the agenda of those who've gone before you? People died for the right to what? To vote.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying? And we stand on the shoulders of great people. The Aaron Henrys, the Martin Luther King. You know, somebody mentioned to me the other day, said Obama, even though it's interesting how things work from a white woman to a black man from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Luther King said, I mean, I get that with you. We're going to get to the mountaintop. Now, we'd be stupid to think by electing Obama, the world, all of a sudden, we've overcome. But if you think that you're sadly mistaken, and only so much the president can do, knowing as a Congress, it's going to help. We're going to have to do our part of where we are.
Mm.
So, I try to make a difference, not so much black or white, but I'm not going to stand by and let folks push folks around because of color or gender, whatever it may be. Yeah. Not a popular position, but who cares? I don't. So that's all I got to say. My daughter, by the way, served in school. I never thought she wanted to be an educator. But she's working on a doctorate. Pretty close to getting it at Mississippi State. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's it.
Okay,
and when you leave, I'm thinking 20 other things that I should have told you. I'm going to call you back and say, hey, wait a minute, come back here.
We could do it.
Yeah,
we could do it.
But there's some more interesting people. Mayor Wilson, good friend of fraternity, mine. He's going to fill your ear. And the mayor is going to give his perspective. And that was only my perspective.
Okay.
And it's pretty close to what actually is, rather than the superficial, all is well mentality, which it is not. We still have too many kids, baby born wedlock, too many blacks going to jail, you know, and prisoners being built for that, but you don't want to ignore it all. You already know that. You can read that in the Ebony magazine.
Thank you.
Okay.
It was great.
Now you know the rest of the story.